We do thank you for the cross, Lord. We thank you for your amazing love, the love that you have for each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just pray now, Lord, you'll anoint your word. Lord, that it will accomplish that for which it is sent. And that your name be glorified in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, we're continuing with the New Testament survey and taking a look once again into the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John, as we've been told, focuses on the divinity of Jesus Christ. It's a lovely book, and it also reveals the amazing love of God. So we can say with truth tonight that Jesus really is the Son of God and that he is a God of love. So join me, if you will, in John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus. Jesus looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they can be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So in this chapter of the Bible, Jesus' life is almost over. But Jesus is speaking as though his work is already complete and that he is about to leave the world. On earth for 33 years, he's now about to go back to his Father in heaven. But he's leaving behind a group of people that he loves dearly, and the thought of it is hard for him to bear. For 3 years, they've been his very close companions. While Jesus was with his disciples, he was their light. He was their comfort, their counsellor and their helper. He had protected them and kept them safe, we read in verse 12. If they were discouraged, he would encourage them. Accused, he would defend them. Mistaken, he would teach them. He was their leader, and he took full responsibility for them, surrounding them with his love. But now circumstances were changing, and his physical presence would no longer be with them in the world. Jesus was leaving, but his heart was still very much with his disciples. They would be left in a hostile world, a world full of sin, imperfection, and temptation. He knew the struggles that they would have to face, the difficulties they would experience. Satan had done all that he could to try and prevent Jesus from fulfilling his Father's will, and he would continue to try and prevent the disciples from continuing his work too. In Philippians 1, verses 21 to 26, we read this from Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul was yearning for heaven, but he knew he was needed on earth. And so it was with Jesus. He was longing to be restored to his Father, to be glorified in God's presence with the glory that he had had before the world began. But his heart yearned so much for the disciples that he was leaving behind. So what did Jesus do? Jesus did what we should all do when we face difficult situations. Jesus prayed. Prayer was not a new thing to Jesus. It was a regular thing. He often went away to pray, to commune with his Father. And he had the assurance that his Father always heard him. When his friend Lazarus had died and Jesus went to the tomb, Jesus prayed. And this is recorded in John 11, verse 42. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And we know the rest of the story, how Lazarus came forth from the tomb, raised to life again. Perhaps one of the most well-known prayers of Jesus, and we've certainly focused on it over the Easter period, is the one spoken or agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. And at this time he also spoke to Simon Peter, saying, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prayed often. And when Jesus prayed this prayer of John 17, he was very specific with the words that he used, very specific as to who he was praying for. In verse 9, he said, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. This does not mean that Jesus never prays for the world. He loves the world. He came to die for the world. He cried for them on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He cried over Jerusalem. He longed, he said, to gather them as a hen would gather her chicks, but they didn't want to respond. Luke 19, verse 10 tells us that he came to seek and to save the lost. But this was going to be a very difficult time for his disciples, and so he earnestly prayed for them. But not just for his disciples that were with him then, but for all the disciples that would come after them. In effect, he prayed for us. Jesus didn't pray for temporal things. He did not pray for riches or honour or worldly influence. He did not pray for an easy life. In fact, quite the opposite. He quite clearly tells us that in this world we will have trouble. That just as Jesus was persecuted, we will be persecuted too. That as they hated him, they would hate us. So what did Jesus pray for? Firstly, Jesus wanted his disciples to have a full measure of joy within them. What a wonderful thing to pray for. Now, joy is not happiness. Happiness happens, but joy abides in the heart of the one that is filled with Jesus. Happiness depends on circumstances, but joy depends on abiding with Jesus. The disciples were not happy that Jesus was leaving them. They were overcome with sorrow, but they would soon understand the joy of his victory over death. James 1 verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." One day the disciples would know the joy of work well done and the reward of being with Christ. Yes, Jesus wanted their joy to be complete in him. Now Jesus prayed very specifically that his Father would not take them out of the world, but that he would protect them from the evil one. Do those words sound familiar? In Matthew chapter 6, the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And this prayer is of great importance because we have an enemy that is very real. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And we need God's protection. And when we pray, when we ask, we have that protection. 1 John 5 verses 18 to 20 says this, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." But then it says, "We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." So when Jesus was on earth, he protected his disciples and kept them safe. And he's still doing that today. He's still interceding for us from heaven. And while we trust in God, the evil one cannot harm us. Surely we will be affected by things that affect the world, but in Jesus we can overcome. In this world we will have trouble, but Jesus says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." No human being could hope to overcome the subtle and powerful strategies of the devil, but we will try in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name the victory will be ours. We also have the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus prayed that his Father would sanctify the disciples by the word of truth. To be sanctified means to be set apart for sacred use, to be consecrated, to be made holy. So we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not to follow the world's ways. We are God's servants, set apart from sin, set apart for God. We are to be consecrated by God, authorized by God, equipped by God, and empowered by God. And we are to serve him for his glory. How else do we learn what God wants for us but by the true word of God, the Bible? We need to know the truth of the Bible for ourselves in order to win others for Christ. We need to mature in Christ. But also, what greater service than to bring others to the Christ who loves them and died for them? And then Jesus' next request was for complete unity. Not just an outward show of unity, for that would soon fail. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me." Ephesians 4 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There's such a lot in that, isn't there? One body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Complete unity in God through Jesus Christ. Hard to grasp, but nevertheless true. And then Jesus' final request is found in verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. This is the first time that we actually hear Jesus say the words, I want. His desire is for his friends to one day be brought home safely to heaven to be with him forever. And this is the greatest future that anyone could hope for. Oh, to see his glory. The hymn writer said this, when in his beauty my Saviour I see, when I shall look on his face, tongue cannot tell at the joy it will be, saved by his wonderful grace. Now this prayer of Jesus is a truly wonderful prayer. It's full of love and concern for his friends. But the question is asked, why pray such a prayer? Why leave them behind in such circumstances? Why not just take them to heaven? He certainly had the power to do that. In the Old Testament, God had taken Enoch and Elijah. Why not these disciples? And why not now? Well, verse 20 gives us the answer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 tells us that God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus came to bring eternal life. And John 17:3 says, Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life was already guaranteed for the disciples, for the 11 that were close to Jesus and all others who had believed in him. But there was a message to tell others. There was still a message for the lost sheep of Israel, a message for the Gentiles to hear. And this message was and still is the good news of salvation through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The message that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The disciples were left in the world for the world's sake, because God loves the world and the world needs to hear it. They were to be a witness to the Lord, to bring others to him, to glorify him, to tell of his love, to teach and to testify. They were left in the world to bring light to the world, to be salt and add savour to the world. They were left to fulfil the great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptising them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There is also the sense in which they were left in the world for their own sake, because it's in the world that we learn to live for Christ, learn to live in him, to trust in him, to exercise faith, hope, and love. It is in the world that we learn to overcome, that our relationship with God is deepened, and it is as we grow that we become true witnesses for Christ, because we have an experience of him that we can tell others, that will help and encourage them. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing the message, but how will they hear the message unless someone tells them? The message must be heard. The choruses that we sang, the songs that we sang tonight, I've picked a couple out here. Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for the nations. That's what we sang, isn't it? It's the power of God for our salvation. He is the Lord. We ask not for riches. Jesus didn't ask for riches. But we look to the cross. You are the Lord. And for our inheritance, for Jesus' inheritance, give us the lost. And we are still to be a voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There is a message that needs to go out, that people need to hear. So how do we apply this prayer of Jesus to our lives today? Jesus is no longer present on the earth in the physical sense. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he is still praying for us today. Do we acknowledge him as our intercessor, as our comforter? He has promised never to leave us or forsake us, that he will be with us even to the end of the world. And the Father has also sent us another comforter on Jesus' behalf, the Holy Spirit. Not instead of, but united with Jesus. And he too will help and guide us as we live in this world. Do we have the joy that Jesus wants us to have? Joy that is not dependent on circumstances, but on abiding in Jesus. Do we ask for and know the protection that God wants to give us against the evil one? Jesus is stronger than Satan or sin. Satan to Jesus must bow. Therefore I triumph without and within, because Jesus saves me now. Again, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. It's very interesting to read that Jesus said he had not lost one that the Father had given him, except the one that was doomed to destruction. And he never will lose anyone. The Lord is our keeper. He will watch over our lives and keep us from harm. He will watch over our coming and going both now and forevermore. Psalm 121. No one can snatch us out of his hand. John 10 verse 28. No matter what would come against us in the world, the flesh, the devil, everything but God, and if God is for us, who can be against us? Do we live today on the promises that God has for us? Are we making every effort to live in unity, one with Jesus and the Father through the Spirit of God? It is by the love that we have for Christ and each other that people will know that we are his disciples. How can they want a love that is only spoken of? They need to see it in action. They need to see it in truth. Are we choosing to be set apart from sin and set apart to God? It's a continual choice, an ongoing thing. Are we studying the Word of God so that we know his will and desire? Do we know the message of the Bible so that we can fulfill the Great Commission and bring others to Christ? All that Jesus prayed for is ours to experience today. And there's a lot to take in. But when our work on earth is complete, we will go to be with Jesus, and we will experience the glory of a heavenly home with him. The hymn writer said, "Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, yes, glory for me."